morning.
Yes. God is alive. Jesus is alive, y'all. We here. And we are here to praise him. We're here to magnify him. We're here to let him know, thank you. Thank you, Lord.
All right, we'll get into our proclamation. We are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
The word says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles.
Yeah.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
What we're doing tonight?
This is how I fight my battles.
Just when you think you're lost.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. 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 It may look like I'm so. By you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how we part.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Oh.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how we fight our battles. 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 This is how we
fight.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How y'all doing today?
All right.
Really?
Yes.
Y'all alive?
Yes.
Let me hear it. Really? We need to wake up. We need to wake up a little bit. Tomorrow morning. Good morning. This morning we'll be doing our scripture reading. Psalms 12, New Living Translation is where we'll be reading from. If you can stand, please stand. If not, please read along. If you need a paper, again, they're on the back table. Help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing. The faithful have vanished. I'm sorry. Let's read together. That was my fault. Let's start over. Psalms 12, New Living Translation. Help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing. The faithful have vanished from the earth. Neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and deceitful hearts. May the Lord cut out their flattering lips and silence their boastful tongues. They say, we will lie to our heart's content. Our lips are our own. Who can stop us? The Lord replies, I have seen violence done to the helpless, and I have heard the groans of the poor. Now I will rise up to rescue them, as they have wronged for me to do. The Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. Therefore, Lord, we know you will protect the oppressed, preserving them forever from this lying generation. Even though the wicked strut about, and evil is praised throughout the land.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you just for your truthfulness alone, your faithfulness alone. And Lord God, we ask that you continue to protect and guide us into what you want us to be like for your will. Show us the way. Let us have a great day in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
rejoice on the African flag. Okay, very good. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, so let me read my flyers first. Okay. So on Saturday, August 10th, which is essentially this coming up Saturday. Okay. This coming up Saturday, 2024, free lunch and prayer fundraiser, Night of Accelerated Compassion. This Saturday, August 10th, 2024, between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. right here, 27085 West Otto Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Minister Lachelle Anderson is having her free lunch and prayer fundraiser dinner. All right, the cost is $25. There's gonna be dinner, a silent auction, music, a message, prizes, and a bouncy house for kids. So the attire is red, white, and black. So there are flyers on the back table. So if you would like to participate, please fill this out. Even if you are not able to attend, but you still want to give, you can Cash App or Zelle at the bottom of the flyer here. Or you can also put it in a Runner for Christ Ministries envelope and just say what it's for, and then we'll make sure to give it to Minister Shelley. Amen? So again, if you want to participate, make sure that you fill out a flyer on the back table and get it turned in to the appropriate people. All right. I got another flyer that says Back to School Blitz. This is happening on Friday, August 16th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's free to get in at the Kimmeny Rec Center. So there's back to school, free food, carnival rides, all types of stuff. So I have this flyer. So if you want to take a picture of it, if you're not familiar with it or you want to share it with others, you can take a picture and share it. And then
Sunday, August 25th, we'll be having our backpack giveaway for our Runner for Christ ministry kids. So on Sunday, August 25th, make sure your kids are here, because if they need a backpack for school, they'll be able to get one. And then on Saturday, August 31st, is our second prayer hour. Amen. So we know how great the first one was, right? So the second one is happening Saturday, August 31st. What time did you say?
The time is going to be the same time the last time. So 1:15 to 2 will be the prayer hour, and we can pray. And then right after that will be dinner down to 6. August 31st.
Saturday, August 31st. But it doesn't matter if we're eating or not. You should still be here because you need to pray, okay? So the food is the perk of it. But if you're not here for the prayer and you're just here for the food, then you're not going to get out of it what you should be getting out of it. All right. So today, Pastor O is bringing the word. Don't forget, on Mondays at 6:30, Minister Shelley has her Blog Talk radio show, Street Love. So you can go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on the Christian Resource tab for the information. Tuesday, 4 o'clock, Minister Richard is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesday at 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, we have our Bible class. Pastor Sarah is teaching the lesson for this week. Pastor O. Pastor Jonathan is teaching Wednesday class. Okay, thumbs up on that. Pastor Jonathan will be teaching the Wednesday class this week. It doesn't matter who's teaching at this point. Just tune in. All right? If you need a book, just go to the church website, rfcm.org. And then this Friday, we will be having at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, Bring Back the Family. And then Saturdays, we have our Saturday worship service on Blog Talk. Amen. At 10 o'clock. Go to our church website, classes, books, jobs, resources, everything again for free. If you want to pay your tithes and offerings online, you can do that. If you want to pay your tithes and offerings here, obviously there's envelopes on the back table. You can do that. Let's see. So because we don't have a prayer list on the thingy thing up here, on the wall. Even Deborah thought that was funny. We don't have a prayer list on the wall. Continue to pray for Keela Freeman. Praise God, she got that big old ugly metal thing off her leg, and now she's back in her regular boot. Amen. Amen. Pray for Doris Gaither. She's in the hospital. Of course, continue to pray for Nakia. Pray for Deacon Mackey and his mom. He did mention to me that she is back in the hospital, so please pray for her and him. All of our mothers that run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Persia, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, they all in the house today. Amen. Continue to pray for them. Amen. Pray for Darius, all of our pastors, our parents, kids. Our kids are not back in school yet, but they're well on their way. They're getting there almost, you know, but kids around the world, you know, they start at different times. Some kids down south have already started. So pray for our kids, government leaders, the president. Everything needs to be prayer from a biblical perspective. Not how you feel, but how God's will is to be done. All right? Get your feelings out of the way. That has been a very hard lesson for me to learn. Your feelings and your faith don't have anything to do with each other. You're obligated to do what the Lord has told you to do, regardless of how you feel. Amen. Continue to pray for those who are sick and shut in, whether in the hospital, you're at home, you're in hospice care, you know, if you're stressed, depressed, hurting, hopeless, whatever, pray. All right? The biggest thing is to pray for those who are unsaved, because we know when this is over with, you either going to heaven or you going to hell. Period. There's no sugarcoating it at this point. You don't just float around. You don't take Jesus, you're going to hell. It is what it is. So he was the one that came as a common denominator for us to choose him. And if you're choosing to not choose him, you're choosing to go to hell. Period. All right? So pray for all those who are unsaved, that they may come to know the love of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that was made for them to have eternal life with him. But also continue to pray for those of us who are in the body of Christ to be witnesses for the Lord in the way that we live, in the way that we show our love to one another. Remember that you are or may be the only Jesus that people see, so make sure you are to reflect him and represent him accordingly. Amen. And then we also always want to continue to pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. All right, so happy birthday. It's August, obviously. So August birthdays, Deaconess Mary Tate celebrates on the 7th. Brother John Oden, his birthday is on the 14th. Deaconess Danielle, her birthday is on the 17th. I got Alice, what is her birthday?
The
17th. The 17th. Okay, Alice Perry. I can say this because she was my mom, but she would have celebrated her birthday on the 19th. She's 85. Robin's birthday is on the 24th. And little Tyrone Payne and Mother Persia, that's your grandson, right? Leon. No, Tyrone. Little Tyrone. Who's little Tyrone? I got him on my list.
On the
25th. Gotcha. Okay. Amen. All right. And your devotional for today is entitled, You Can Count on God. My God is changeless in his love for me. That's Psalm chapter 59, verse 10. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. If I'm not mistaken, we talked about that this morning. James chapter 1, verse 17. When everything's changing around you, it's important to remember that God is a consistent Father. He will never let you down, and he can always be counted on. He is reliable, and he is worthy of trust. Again, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is an unchanging and consistent Father. Human fathers are often unpredictable. I've talked to people who said, growing up, I never knew how my dad was going to treat me. I never knew if he was going to be silent or violent. I never knew whether he was going to hug me or slug me. I never knew if he was going to take me in or reject me. Inconsistent fathers produce insecure children. But God is not moody. He does not change in his character or in his feelings about you. Nothing you could do would make God love you more, and nothing you could do would make God love you less. Your heavenly Father is consistent. One of the things you can count on is that God always acts the same towards you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. We know that the world is changing faster than ever before. Years ago, the futurist Alvin Toffler wrote that in times of rapid change, people need islands of stability. When everything else is up in the air, you need something in your life that never changes as an anchor for your soul. You need an island of stability in order to handle the stress. There's only one problem. On this planet, nothing lasts. There's only one thing you can count on that will never change. Only one thing that will give you permanent stability, and that's the consistent, caring love of your Heavenly Father. As you get to know God and experience his love for you, you'll find solid footing in a shaky, inconsistent world. My God is changeless in his love for me. Again, Psalm 59, verse 10, and you can count on that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Those are your announcements.
Woo!
It is time for our offering. If you need an envelope, we do have someone who will assist you. Mir.
Come on, somebody.
For your love giving, it is an honor to be here. It is an honor to let God have his way in everything that we do. And our songs are God-driven. They are with Jesus. And Jesus is the one that we are singing about. Jesus is the one that we love. Jesus is the one that gave his life for us. So we can at least serve him.
Mm-hmm.
above all things, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began, above all above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasure on the earth, there's no way to measure what you are worth. Crucified and lay behind the stone, you lifted up, rejected and alone, like a rose that trampled on the ground. You took the fall.
It's communion time. So if you need to be served, please raise your hand My lovely youth team will make sure you get what you need. While you are preparing for communion, I'm going to read one verse. Two verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. Wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Amen.
Amen.
Like a rose trampled on the ground, he took the fall and thought of me above all. Today when we do communion, I want you to be reminded that you didn't take the fall. Like a husband, usually a good husband, takes his wife's fall. We are Christ's wife. The body is the bride of Christ. And so when we allow ourselves to submit to the Lord, we're telling him, whether we're male or female, that you are the person that's going to take my fall. So in this communion, I want you to give credit for him making the choice to take our fall. Amen?
Amen.
So take and eat. This is his body. Amen. And then take and drink. This is his blood. His body and his blood was trampled on the ground for you specifically. Amen? Amen.
Yes.
search the earth below, but there's no one. There is no one, no one. I can search the heavens high. I can search the earth below, but there's no one.
To the praise team for keeping a song in our hearts today and for the rest of the week. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Psalms 118 verse 26. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122 verse 1. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. We are blessed to receive another new understanding of the Most High God. Yet another all-you-can-eat buffet provided by Runner for Christ Ministries to feed our inner men. May we get the meat of this word. Today's message is titled, Peace with God. The text comes from Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 through 8. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 5, verses 1 through 8. This is Brother Paul speaking, and I'll be reading it from the NLT. And it reads as follows. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Amen. Let's listen with ears to hear our very own Gerald Marshall Overall as he delivers a message titled Peace with God. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. Carmen and Mackie said they was going to preach for me and Cassie, and then they queeted out. Amen. They changed their minds. Okay, they never did make up their minds to say they would, but still, they could have. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. And again, Father, I don't mind saying this every single Sunday, that you've given us another opportunity to come to church and worship together collectively. We don't come here, Father, to get saved. We come here because we are saved. We come here to be recharged, to be regenerated, so that we can go down from this mountain afresh and anew and get back into the world, back into the work that you called us to do. The world is ripe and ready for harvest, but the laborers are few, Father. I pray, Lord, that this word helps us to be inspired to become, if we're not already, a laborer in your vineyard, taken out of this world of people for yourself. Bless this word, Lord, into the hearts and of your people to be lived out in their everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart. So it receives your word today, because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts. They're not like yours, but I'm here today to be transformed, to change the way I think according to your word, so I can always know your good, your pleasing, and your perfect will. You can see her holy face. She loves you so much right now. Right about now, she's loving you so much. Amen. 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 Peace with God. We already discussed chapter 1 where we and 2, and we found out when we got to chapter 3 that righteousness, being set right, being made right with God, comes by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And since we've been put right, made right, set right with God, we are also what? Justified by faith.
Amen.
The kind of faith Abraham had. We are children of Abraham. Why? Because we believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was what? Accredited to him, imputed to him as what? Righteousness. Amen? So we're not claiming to be just as if we've never sinned in the sight of God because of something we have done. Because when Rebecca read to us from chapter 3, verses 9 to 19, we found out that there's none good, no, not one. All have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. And so if we were going to be made right with Christ, with God, Christ had to be the one to do it. There was nobody on earth who could stand in the place or stand in the gap like Jesus. Because nobody on earth ever lived a sinless day. And with a sin nature, you're automatically disqualified. Amen. See, Jesus had a human body that he got from his mother, but he had the same nature that he came from heaven with. Yeah, fully God and fully man. Amen. So there was no sin in him. Amen. He took our sins, placed them on himself on the cross. Amen. And delivered us from that sin. He took the punishment for us, and therefore we are made right with God. Therefore we are justified by faith before God. And now I love the first verse in that passage. It says, since we have been justified. Amen. Good to see you, brother. Amen. Since we have been justified, we have obtained or gained access to the grace, the undeserved privilege in which we now stand. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls eternally, amen, we now have that. Why? Because we believe that Jesus died and was raised on the third day for our justification. So I don't have to try to justify myself in front of God. Jesus did that. And now that I am justified with God, I have peace with God. Now, I'm going to preach another sermon next week, the Lord willing, and the world's still here. We haven't gotten raptured in, or got a personal rapture, amen. But we're going to talk about, amen, how we lost our peace with God. But today we just want to talk about we have peace with God and what that does for us, what that brings to us. Already, we have God's grace. Amen. We have God's unmerited favor. We have right standing with God through Jesus Christ, not through ourselves, not because we go to church, not because we preach, not because we teach, not because we do anything, but because of what Jesus did. He paved the way for us. He made us able to cry, as Romans chapter 8 tells us, we can now say what? Cry, Abba, Father. In other words, we can call God Daddy. Why? Because he is our Daddy. Jesus says, when you pray, say what?
Our Father.
Our Father. Amen. He didn't say when you pray, say God. He said, when you pray, say, our Father. So he's not just my Father, he's Ollie's Father. He's not just my Father, he's Shirley's Father. He's not just my Father, he's Mother Irma's Father. There's a fraternity here, right? All of us, when we pray, say, our Father. And then we can make our requests known unto the Lord. There was a blind man over in John chapter 9 who got healed by Jesus, and then he got dragged in front of the Pharisees, and he told us something. Somebody asked me one time, does God hear sinners when they pray? The blind man said, we know that God, what? Does not hear sinners. Now, we can pray on their behalf. Amen. There were people who came to Jesus on behalf of somebody else, so we can pray on their behalf, but they can't talk to God. Why? Because God does not hear unregenerated sinners. And when I use that word regeneration, we're talking about people who have received the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we stand in this grace. We stand in this privilege. The things that God has, that things that have become available to us because we're in Christ Jesus. You know, it never ceases to amaze me, but we don't do that. We get stuff. And the instructions, push them to the side, and we start trying to put it together. Amen? So I ain't reading all that. Especially now, when I got this, the last flip phone I bought came with a book. Brian, you know what I said? I ain't reading all that. I started trying to figure the phone out without reading all of that. Amen? And I see people live a Christian life the same way. They get saved and then they try to, I ain't reading all that, them 66 books, I ain't reading all that. And then they start trying to work their Christian life out. Making mistakes all over the place, amen. But God has given us his word. And the reason God gave us his word is so that when we have to face down the devil, when we have to face down demons, and let me tell you something, if you're looking at a human being, they ain't your problem. If they're presenting you with a problem, it comes from somewhere else. Amen? Before that human being could even come to you and do that or say that, permission had to be granted from heaven for that to happen. Why? Because all things work together for the good of those who what? Love God. And are called according to his purpose. So nothing can happen to you, Ed, that God don't allow to happen to you. And guess what? When stuff start happening, smile. Get happy. Because God getting ready to shame the devil. See, the devil have gone to heaven and said some stuff about you. He talked about you. He said the reason you serve God is for this reason or for that reason. But God already knows, Darius, you ain't going to quit on him. God knows, amen, that he can count on you to stand like that time you and Malachi walked by that house. God knew y'all was going to do something. That's how y'all ended up on that street at that time. Because God knew. Now, two other Christians might have said, oh, wow, the house on fire. Somebody should call the fire department while they're holding their phone. But y'all saw the house on fire, right? And they said, we need to get running and not even go in there. See, God know who he can depend on. We get three things, three words I want to deal with you on that we stand in this grace that we stand in now. Amen. Three words. Perseverance, character, hope. Amen. See, we glory in God because we saved. We say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. Thank you for getting on the cross and dying for me. I'm saved. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But he also says, we also glory in what? Our sufferings. Amen. We glory in what? Our sufferings. Wow. Why would we glory in our sufferings? Why would we glory when bad things happen? Why would we get happy like Paul and Silas and sit in the Philippian jail at midnight and sing praises to God? You know why? Because God says all things what? Work together for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. We have got to get it into our heads that the stuff that happens to us, God probably didn't make it happen, but God's going to use it to make you a better Christian. God's going to use it to turn you into who you're going to be forever. See, we got our minds fixed on this earth. We got our minds fixed on today and tomorrow and then next week and next year. You know, amen? But God got his mind fixed on heaven. God got his mind fixed first on Revelation chapter 4, where the church gets raptured out of the world and is brought to heaven. God got his mind fixed on Revelation 21 and 22. So God knows that while we are here, we're going to suffer trials. We're going to suffer what? Persecutions, trials and tribulations, trouble. But we got songs that say what? Trouble don't? Amen. That God gave us those songs. So while we're going through, amen, we can sing to ourselves. We can preach to ourselves. We can speak the word of God to ourselves. You know, Philippians chapter 4 tells us to control your mind. Don't let your mind just run rampant and run crazy all over. And you know, I used to tell the Lord, you know what I told him, need? I said, how do I control my thoughts? You can't control thoughts. They just pop up. He said, well, then why did I tell you whatsoever is this, whatsoever is that, whatsoever is the other, think on these things. If you can think on that thing, then you can think on the things of God, can't you? You can think, don't worry about anything. You can think instead, pray about everything. You can think, tell God what you need. You can think, remember what God has already done for you. And you can think, I've been in the perfect peace, because that is the pathway to perfect peace. It does not ignore what you're going through. But it tells you you're going through. You didn't come here to stay. You're just going through. Amen. On our way to Mackinac, we passed through a whole lot of cities. We might even stop in Birch Run. We might even stop in Frankenmuth. But we ain't staying there. We might stop at West Branch. But we ain't staying there. We're going somewhere. And no matter what happens from our house to Mackinac, whatever comes up, we just go right through it. Sheila and I have gotten on that freeway, and it was bright and sunshine. And then we got up around West Branch, and it was dark and rainy and cloudy. And we rode right through the storm, and guess what, Leeches? On the other side of the storm, it was bright and sunny again. See, God got a plan for us. He's taking us somewhere. So when trials happen, the Lord uses those to teach us endurance. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or a whole lot of trouble is what he's saying. Count it all. Why would I count it all joy? Because God's going to use this trouble to teach you how to endure hard times. We fall apart too easy. Christians fall apart real easy. Worldly folks say, you got to do what you got to do. But Christians go over in the corner, sit down and cry. How could you let this happen to me, Jesus? You're so real, Jesus. Why you let this happen to me, Jesus? We just go to telling Jesus off. You know I don't like this, Jesus. You know this is wrong, Jesus. I go to church. Them other people don't go to church. They like better than that, Jesus. We get to going off on Jesus. Why? Jesus is getting ready to make you stronger. Amen. He's getting to make you the kind of Christian that, amen. There's a song out that says, I'm not that easy. I'm not that easy to break. I'm not that easy. I'm not that easy to break. Amen. So God wants to allow these troubles to come into our lives to teach us to persevere. Jonathan preached a sermon yesterday talking about, talking about the confidence of God. He named it something else, but it was not. He stole it. Talking about the confidence of God. And he talked about how we all up and up when we having the praise party, but then when things go left, where is your confidence in God now? This lady, the one that used to sing, Theresa's mother. What was her name, Sheila? Well, anyway, in that song that she used to sing, she used to say, if I never had a problem, I would not know that God could solve them. Amen. Have you ever had a problem and you couldn't solve it, but that problem got solved? Guess what you learned? That when I get problems, God gonna solve them. We might not be able to solve our problem. Peter, when he got a problem, he started sinking. Before he could drink any salt water out of the Galilee Sea, guess what? He called on Jesus. And guess what? Jesus solved his drowning problem. Yeah, sometimes we lose faith. Sometimes we want to give up. Sometimes we want to let go. But God needs you to know that you need to learn how to endure. So he give you something. He allows something. He give you something, or he allows something to cause you to learn how to what? Endure. He know that endurance is going to do what? Create character in you. You're going to get to the place where you trust, lean, and rely on the Lord. See, when Satan went to the Lord and said, can I attack your boy? God already knew that Job wasn't going to fail. Job had developed good Christian character. He had gone through a lot. Amen. And he was getting ready to go through some more. But God used Job's trouble to produce character in him. He already had some, but he needed more. Now we know Job was richer than rich, right? Job had the respect of all the people in the community, right? Job had 10 wonderful sons and daughters, right? And he had a beautiful wife, right? And the devil said, well, the reason he served you is because his life like that. Let me go down there and strip him of all that. And he will what? Curse you to your face. Do you know the devil do the same thing to you? You might not think you Job because you ain't in the Bible, but he will Job you. Oh yes, he's a hater. Mother, he a hater. He will go up to heaven and God say something good about you, Malachi, your voice just start. Hey, oh yeah, oh yeah, I know what you say about Malachi, but you let me go down there and do this, he'll curse you to your face. But guess what? God know Malachi ain't about to curse him to the face. The devil about to get shamed. Do you know after Job beat the devil like he did, do you know all them demons who follow him was like, oh, dude, you're spiritually powerful than all us. We follow you. And that little bitty human being down there I feel sorry for you, Satan. But I still follow you, but I feel sorry for you. That little human being mopped the floor with you. Amen. And what did Job do? All he did is stand in the grace that God gave him. He stayed firm. He endured. Every time we endure, every time God brings us through a battle, guess what? The next time a battle show up, we remember what happened in the last battle. It got to the place, Tamika, one time, you know what I told the devil then? I said, you know what? Y'all about to press me. Y'all about to stress me. And I'm about to pray. Amen. You're going to stress me right to my knees. Or I'm going to do like Paul and Silas. I'm going to have a praise party right in your face. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't going to fear no evil. Why? Because Jesus got a rod and staff that will comfort me. When I read about them people in the Bible who went through all kinds of crap, but went through it, I want to learn how they got through.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have... So every time God allows something to come our way that's hard, he's producing in us what? Christian character. The kind of character that God knows he can trust, lean, and rely on. Can God trust, lean, and rely on you? Does God know that no matter what he allows the devil or he does to you, does God know you're going to still love him?
Yeah.
Does God know if he puts you in a Philippian jail, you're going to sing praises at midnight? Or will you embarrass God? I remember when I was talking with a Beatrice one time. And her righteous indignation went through the roof. She was working, I believe, up in Ann Arbor at this time. And they were talking about laying people off. And unholy, unsaved people was like, oh, well, you got to do what you got to do. It is what it is. But the Christians was having fits. And she was like, Pastor, because that's how she talked. You know, all these people up there call themselves Christians, but they're using it. I had to tell them, Jesus got you. Amen. And amen, that's what God needs. Yes, the news is bad. Yes, she could possibly be laid off and lose her income. But she believed that God was going, somehow she had developed Christian character. And even though the news was real, even though the news was bad, she didn't care. This is an opportunity for God to bless me. And guess what? God blessed her. God took her all the way to Virginia. And then God brought her all the way back here. I'll never forget talking with Jonathan 19 months.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus tried him so much that Marcus, I got scared. I was like, Jesus, what are you doing to him? He cool. I'm going to lose a real good help. You pressing him too hard. 19 months. You know, you pray for somebody for 12 months, you're like, I was about to get like Joe's friends. I was like, Jonathan, what you doing, man? Why Jesus jacking you like this, man? I was finna turn into Elphaz, Bildad, and one of them guys. Starting, you know you going through this because you did something. Oh, but he held up and he held out, and now he got 3 jobs. Amen. Praise God. He's like, I want to go back to no jobs. Well, 1 job. But God uses, he sends these things so we learn how to endure. And when we endure, it produces Christian character that trusts, leans, and relies on God no matter what. That is the goal. Because in this life, you shall have what? Trials and tribulations. But what? Be of what? Because I've overcome. And what does that mean? You can overcome. God already knows the end of everything. Sharon, I can't tell you how many times I done had to say to the Lord, you know I was tripping, but yeah, I was just scared a little bit, Jesus. But I was tripping, but I knew you was going to come through all the time. All them tears and all that worry, Jesus. I was just joking. I knew you was going to come through. I knew you wasn't going to let me down. Amen. And the Lord say, see, that's why you saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that endurance that creates Christian character in us, the kind of trust, lean, and rely on God no matter what, also gives us hope. What kind of hope? Well, if he brought me, in the New Living Translation, I love the New Living Translation version of this. It's Philippians, you start at verse 6, chapter 3. And it simply says, don't worry about anything.
Okay.
Yeah. That in itself sounds crazy, don't it? When in a world full of things to worry about, the Lord says, don't worry about anything. He says over in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry. Do not worry. So we have to conclude from that that worrying is a sin. Why? Because the Lord said, don't do it. And I know we say, well, Lord, what do you mean? Don't worry. I got something to worry about. I got this bill, ain't got no money. I need a car, ain't even got a key. What do you mean, don't worry? They just told me I'm getting ready to be laid off. And Jesus, you know my bills. You know I've been fronting. I ain't got a dime in the bank. Don't worry. Came outside this morning already late for work. Got 4 flats. Don't worry. Came outside, the whole car gone. Don't worry. God will give you opportunities to worry. So he can say, don't worry. See, when you don't worry, you trust. When you don't worry, you lean on him. When you don't worry, you rely on him. He says, don't worry about anything. There's nothing to worry about for the Christian. He gives us a way out. He says, instead, Brian, pray about everything. He says, tell God what you need. Yes. Tell God as best you can come up with what you think you need. Because sometimes what we think we need, we don't need. God knows we need something else. See, God is not looking at the thing you're worrying about. God is looking at you and where you are in your walk toward perfection. God is looking toward Revelation chapter 4 when the church is raptured, Revelation 21 and 22 when the courts close and everybody who's going to hell is gone and ain't nothing left but his children. That's when the Lord says, he's going to dwell with them. That's when the Lord says that. And so on our way there, he tells us not to worry. You know, Martin Luther King could not worry about the little battles that it seemed like he was losing. When he got locked up in that jail. I got one of the books he wrote when he was in that jail. Amen. And he wrote about the necessity to love. But he'd been locked up in a jail. And he's talking about loving the people who locked him up in the jail. Amen. He wasn't worried. Instead, he prayed about being in jail. He told God as best he could figure out what he needed. Amen. And guess what? He remembered. Remember the Christian character? Remember the endurance? We remember the last time that we were going under. We remember when we read in the Bible that folks were going under and what God did for them. Amen? So it produces hope, but not just hope for this life. It produces hope. It tells us that God's going to get us all the way from earth to heaven. And so we like Martin Luther King and the other civil rights fighters, we keep our eyes on what? The prize. And what is the prize? Not some place in this life. God's getting you ready for heaven. He's not getting you ready for next week, next month, next year. He's getting you ready for heaven. Amen? And so, because we endure, we learn to trust God. God knows He can rely on us. And because of that, we have hope that God, who called us to Him, is going to get us all the way to heaven, to Revelation 21 and 22. Amen? Now, it goes on to say that at just the right time, amen, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time, Jesus Christ came and died for the ungodly. Do you know that we were wiping out left and right? Amen. From Adam. Adam to Moses, there was no law on earth given by God. All they had was an oral tradition. What God told Adam and Eve about walking in fellowship with Him, they passed on to their children. We know they did. Why? Because Cain and Abel learned it. Cain wouldn't do it, but Abel did. He's called righteous Abel. Amen? And then after that, God gave them the law under Moses, 613 laws. But between that time, from Adam to Moses, guess what? Death still reigned on the earth. People were still dying. Amen? And even after God did give them the law, they were still dying. We followed the children of Israel all the way through the Old Testament. They never did get it right. Moses struck the rock, didn't speak to it so God could get the glory. He didn't get to go in the promised land. Miriam and Aaron got crazy and got turned up on their brother, amen, and they didn't make it into the promised land. In fact, all the folks, the 2 million folks that came out of Egypt, none of them made it to the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb, two people. God wiped out all the rest of them in the wilderness. You don't want to die in the wilderness. You don't want to die in that kind of Christian life. You don't want your Christian life. I'm not going to say you dying and going to hell, but you don't want to die. You want to reach the goal. Amen. You want to achieve the purpose for which Christ called you in the first place. You want to get there. Amen. So just at the right time, when man was without hope and hopeless and could not save himself, God sent Jesus into the world. When Jesus came here, man was still floundering. They were so bad that God put them under the Babylonians. They didn't get any better, so they ended up under the Medo-Persians. They didn't get any better, so they ended up under the Greeks. They didn't get any better than they ended up under the Romans. And when Jesus comes into the world, that's where they are, under Roman domination. They're dying from their sins. They're being wiped out left and right because they're constantly sinning against God. We called them in the Old Testament the can't get right people. Amen. Every time you look around, God's wiping them out. One time He sent snakes into the village and started stinging people. And one time He sent fire into the village and started burning up everything. One time He opened up the ground and the sons of Korah, 250 strong, fell into the earth. And on the next day, at the total, 1,400 people was gone. But at just the right time, God sent His Son Jesus into the world to die for our sins. You know, I like it where it says two words, righteous good. Amen. Two words, righteous good. He says some people might rarely die for a righteous person. Rarely. Amen. We know that Noah was righteous. Why? God called him righteous. We know Abel was righteous because in Hebrews chapter 11 he was called righteous Abel. Amen. We know that Abraham was righteous. Why? Because God called him righteous. Amen. So we know that there were righteous people. Job was righteous. God called him righteous, right? So we know that we're righteous people, but guess what? The Bible says that somebody might scarcely or rarely or maybe die for them. And then there was the good people. Lydia and Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. The Bible says she was always doing good things and helping the poor. She was a good lady. Amen. Amen. There were good people throughout the Bible. But the Lord says somebody might try to die, possibly die, want to die for somebody who's good. So you have righteous people that some people might scarcely die for. You have good people that more people might possibly want to or dare to die for. But then God, amen, demonstrated his love toward us. Amen. In this way, that Christ died for what? All sinners. God so loved how much of the world? This part, that much? Did God just love the righteous in the world? Did God just love the good people in the world? Or did God just so love the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life? Amen. God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And God didn't do something for us because we was righteous. He didn't do something for us because we were good. God did something for us because we were without hope and we were helpless at making ourselves right with him. So he made us right with him. He closes this out by saying, if the Lord did all of this, some more words, enemies, reconciled, saved. Amen. If he did all of this for us while we were enemies of God. Now, some scholars say that word enemy means those like the devil who directly oppose God. And then some scholars say the word enemies deals with folks who are just opposite of God. God said up, they down. God said in, they out. Amen. But however you look at that word enemies, they were enemies of God, whether they were in open rebellion against God or whether they were just not living like God had prescribed for man to live. They were still what? Opposite of God. They were still what? Enemies of God. But having been reconciled to God, how much more will we be saved? Amen. By the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's not talking about salvation. That word saved, when you read these words in the Bible, you have to do some etymology to them. You have to go figure out what the word is saying in that context. Amen. Because the word, we like to use this over in Romans chapter 10. It says, if we confess out of our mouth what we believe in our heart, we will be what? Saved. But that word is not talking about getting saved as it is accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just like this word over here in Romans chapter 5 is not talking about that kind of salvation. Why? Because the book of Romans is written to who? Christians. They're already saved. So when you see the word saved in an epistle, unless it in context is talking about getting saved, it is not talking about being made right with God. What it's talking about is our walk with God from earth to heaven. What it's talking about is what Jesus said in Philippians 1:6, that God is working on us. He's getting us prepared for heaven. So if while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us, how much more shall we be saved since we're reconciled to God? And what that means is that you can be sure that God's going to get you from earth to heaven. We have to stop this little myopic look we got on life where we just see it from, like I talk with or comment on Neil deGrasse Tyson's page, the super astrophysicist. He's one of the people I follow on Facebook because he got way too many friends to try to be a friend. So I follow him. But one day I told him, I feel sad for you. I say, I thank God for you, because when the Lord wants me to know something about this universe he created, you're the go-to guy. But you, I feel sorry for you, because you only know life from when you were born. And as far as you know, life ends when you die. You don't know anything about before here, and you don't know nothing about after here. All you're bounded by death, by life and death. That's all you know. Amen? And most of us, that's what we do. We spend our time thinking about this life almost continuously, almost daily. All we do is worry about today and then worry about tomorrow. Amen? Worry about next week. We'll go all the way into next year. And we get into evil foreboding. This is going to be a bad day. This is going to be a bad year. I can tell. You're predicting a bad year for yourself. You're predicting a bad day for yourself. The Bible calls that evil foreboding. And the reason the word evil is added is you don't know what today is going to be like. You don't even know how far you're going to make it in this day. You don't know that today God got the right person in the right place at the right time to change your whole life. Yeah. But you wake up in the morning talking about how horrible a day is going to be. I once heard a man say, I can't come to work next Thursday. I'm going to be sick. I was like, ooh, I got to use that one. Yeah, next Thursday. That's a true story. He called in, told him he wasn't coming in next Thursday because he's going to be sick. Amen. Psychic friends. Amen. God is getting us ready for heaven, y'all. Amen.
All right.
God is getting us ready for heaven. The other word that we want to talk about is reconciliation. Amen. So now we have righteousness by faith. We have justification by faith. We have peace with God by faith. And now we have reconciliation. Since we have been reconciled to God, I love how those passages lead out saying, since we have been justified, since we have been reconciled to God, how much more can we trust, lean, and rely on the Lord to get us from earth to heaven? Amen. The wrath of God in chapter 1, where it said the wrath of God is being revealed against all ungodliness. We don't have to worry about that. Why? Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is now what? No condemnation to those who are where? In Christ Jesus. Amen. And so everything that we have to go through in this life, God is using every bit of it to turn us into who we're going to be forever. So the next time the devil comes up to you and try to scare you with some calamity that you're going through, saying, dude, I'm on vacation. Amen. This time I was for real laid off. I wasn't fake laid off. Well, I got myself laid off so I could be off. But I was for real laid off. And the Lord came to me and said, you better enjoy this time off, because the time is coming where you ain't going to be off. Well, guess what, Lucille? You know what happened, preacher? Amen. I got hired in the chem line. You know how many hours I was working a week? 65 hours a week. I was like, Jesus, I could use some more layoff. Amen. I could use some more fire. I could use some more. I ain't got to come here no more. Amen. I was telling Jonathan that same thing, man. You've been enjoying these 19 months. Now you got 3 jobs. Amen. Amen. So whatever is going on in your life, don't worry. Don't let the devil make you worry. Okay, but don't act crazy like it ain't happening to me. Yes, it is happening to you. It is happening, and no, it ain't fun. This is like riding the bike. No, it ain't. It ain't fun. But go to God and tell God, Lord, this thing got me all twisted up. I'm all bent out of shape. I'm trying to learn and trust and lean and rely on you, and I am out of shape. Amen. And here's the important thing. Remember how many times God has brought you out before. Amen. Remember how many things. Just think about things you've gone through. Things where you thought life was over. them times in your life where you wished you had the nerve to commit suicide. And here you are today, past all of that. You beat all of that. How? Through faith in Christ. You endured. That endurance increased your Christian character. That Christian character caused you to keep trusting, leaning, and relying and hoping on God. Yeah. Amen. We have peace with God. Don't let the devil convince you somehow that you've done something and God's mad at you and punishing you. Amen. What did Job do that the devil ended up in his life? Job didn't do nothing. He was just down there living his life. But let me tell you something about Job. He said in chapter 3, verse 23, the thing I feared the most has happened to me. Oh, so you rich as cream. You got money till it ain't even funny. But you're afraid of losing your kids. Wonder what would I be like if I lost my kids? You're afraid of losing your money. What would it be like if I lost my money? You're afraid of losing your status in the community. What would it be like if people didn't like me no more and talk crappy of me like his three friends? Wouldn't you like to have Joe's three friends? They just waiting on you. Amen. But the things he feared the most that was preventing him from living a good life, a life of peace, peace of mind, well, God let it happen. Job needed to know, Shirley, that if all this happened, you're only going to come out of it with double for your trouble. But see, Job had good Christian character. Even though his body was against him, even though his whole life was against him, and even though his best friends came and ragged on him for 39 chapters, he thought they was his friends, but they kept coming around talking about, man, you know what you did. God ain't gonna do nobody like this unless you did something. And he tried his best to deal with them. But you know what in the end, Marcus? You know what happened? God told them boys, look, you need to go get Job to pray for you. If not, I'm finna break out on you. And imagine this, Darius. They had to go to Job and they say, you know, Darius, I know I was going off, not all that stuff I said. I ain't mean that. Bill Dad told me to say that. So, you know, I ain't even mean that. Check this out. I know what we did and said about you. But can you pray for it, bro? I need you to pray for me. And you know, Lolo, what would we have done? Are you serious? You trashed me for days in front of everybody. Now you want me to pray for you. Job didn't do that. Job prayed for him. What did Jesus tell us to do about our enemies? Pray for them. Job did that before he even got a Bible. He didn't even have a Bible. So when the devil come and your life just turned upside down, whether you turned it upside down or he turned it upside down or God turned it upside down because you need to be upside down so you can figure something out. Really, you notice that. Hey, don't let him trick you. Like Dr. Tony Evans, I'm going to close with this. Like Dr. Tony Evans said, the devil is a dog. He's a vicious dog, a mean dog. Got some big teeth. Don't like nobody, but he God's dog. And God got a choke on that neck. And every time you try to act up, he snatched that baby. The devil can't come near you. And if God let him come near you like he did Jesus, guess what? Speak the word of God to him. He don't like that. That's like getting on a chalkboard and just scratching it. Okay, how that drive you crazy? When the devil come around, say, I hear what you saying, Satan. Person tell him, I hear what you saying, but this is what Jesus said. He can't deal with that. The Bible says after this, the devil left him. You want to run the devil away? Amen. Endure. Let your Christian character show and keep your hope. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, that through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have peace with you. You're not angry with us. The wrath of God is no longer being revealed against us. because we've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, He has become the propitiation for our sins. We have received the Holy Spirit. We've been regenerated. And by faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we have righteousness by faith. We've been justified just as if we never sinned. And we have peace with you. Thank you, Father. You know, Lord, I like to tell you all the time, thank you for doing these things just because you wanted to. Because you're that kind of God who just loves, loves, and loves some more. Thank you for loving us, Father, just because you wanted to. In Jesus' name, we give you all the thanks, the praise, the honor, and the glory. Father, the devil is going to try to steal this word from us. Some of this word done hit solid ground and ain't going to really produce nothing. Some of this word done fell on shallow earth and they said, amen. But then as soon as trouble come, they're going to forget. And some of this word, Father, it never even made it in. It just fell among thorns and it's going to get choked out. But Father, I am praying that each person here is good soil.
All right.
I am praying that each person here reaps some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. In Jesus' name, I ask it for this people, your people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. My man. My people.
Enjoy.
It's so good to see you.
Enjoy, Pastor, with the message. Yes. Want to hear more of that?
Yes.
Yes. Everyone stand up. We're about to leave, y'all. It was a beautiful day in the Lord.
If you love Him, stand with us today. If you love Him, lift your voice and shout the glory of His name. If you love Him, open up your mouth. And if you love Him, let His praise ring out. Every nation, sing for joy. If you love Him, lift your voice and shout. Thank you, loving. Open up your mouth. Thank you, loving. Let His praise ring out. Every nation, sing for joy and come together. Our God is strong and mighty. We will not be silent. We will declare.
Of the Holy Spirit,
the presence of the Holy Spirit,
and the Lord God our Father,
and the Lord God our Father,
rest, rule, and abide,
rest, rule, and abide,
in and throughout our hearts,
in and throughout our hearts,
till we all meet again,
until we all meet again,
the whole church say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for 100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get 100 off a cocktail maker when you spend 400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.
Top reasons your career wants you to move to Ohio. So many amazing growth opportunities, high-paying jobs in technology, advanced manufacturing, engineering, life sciences, and more. You'll soar to new heights, just like the Wright brothers, John Glenn, even Neil Armstrong. Their careers all took off in Ohio, and yours can too. A job that can take you further, and a place you can't wait to come home to. Have it all in the heart of it all. Launch your search at callohiohome.com.